Chapter 61. Merrick. True to his estimation, Merrick and the other scouts were on their way out of the encampment with fresh horses and additional supplies within half an hour. The sun was just peeking out from the hills behind them. Its light did more than guide their path. It promised to curb the chill of their overnight excursion. They headed north along the main road, skirting the waters of the Pyruvian, and continued in the general direction of the Black Hills and their connecting passes to the kingdom of Sealmar. After a couple of hours of hard riding, without seeing another living soul, the scouts reined up at an adjoining crossroad. It wound its way across the Sealmaran border, avoiding the Black Hills altogether. Terrace hopped off his horse. He and Elson had followed the road last night when scouting the northern side of the Sealmaran flanks.
"It appears to be just as we left it."
Terrace knelt in the dirt beside his horse and thoroughly scanned the rough terrain.
"I don't see any additional movement here, Merrick."
"We'd best press on, then."
Merrick turned his horse northward. They rode through the rest of the morning and into the afternoon, before reaching the opening to the first pass leading into the mountains. The dark deposits of granite were a clear indicator of how this range had received its name. The two passes in and through the Black Hills had been opened for the use of mining operations. However, because of the increase in raiders coming out of Sealmar, they were closed for the season. The pass was wide enough for two haulers, but no more. Merrick, Elson, and Terrace dismounted and carefully scanned the mouth. There were deep, rutted grooves in the flooring of the rock where the heavy wagons, laden with newly mined ore, would travel. The fresh deposits were then taken to Erremor for processing.
"I'll be a scoutin' ahead, boss,"
Bale said in his deep seafaring accent. He moved his horse into the pass and trotted toward the first turn. Merrick nodded and turned to the others.
"Elson, can you ride north and make sure nothing is moving south from the second pass? I would hate to get stuck in here with no way to retreat."
The young scout nodded and swung his horse north. He kept to a good pace as he continued up the main road. After feeling assured there had been no large-scale movement of men in any recent days, Merrick and Terrace mounted and made their way into the pass. The echoes from their horses' hooves reverberated off the solid walls, rising hundreds of feet into the air around them. Like an enormous tomb, the passage held an eerie sense of finality. During the winter months, the caps would cover in snow, periodically avalanching through the pass and blocking all access. For this reason, they kept the ironworks closed through the colder season, usually cutting off production near the beginning of Akossi and not starting back up until the middle of Manu. Rounding the first corner, Merrick could see Bale up ahead, kneeling beside his horse and scanning the path for recent activity. Merrick reined in alongside. He watched as the stout sailor moved a few rocks out of the way while checking for tracks.
"I be seeing two recent sets leading in," he said, still glancing at the grooves in the overlaying dust. "But I don't be seeing any leading out."
Merrick took a deep breath and released. He didn't like the feeling worming around in his gut.
"If I remember correctly," Terrace said with an understandably apprehensive tone, "the pass splits a couple of miles ahead. The left will take you out toward the Sealmaran side of the mountains, and the right takes you back toward the mines."
Bale swung back into his saddle.
"Shouldn't we be awaiting for Elson?"
"We'll take it slow," Merrick said,
as he twisted in his saddle to glance at the passageway behind them.
"If he hasn't caught up with us by the time we reach the fork, we'll leave a marker for him to follow."
The other two flanked him as they continued down the pass toward the next curve. All three kept a close eye on the trail for any indication as to what had happened to their missing comrades. The shallow padding of their horses' hooves was the only sound present within the vast corridor of stone. A sense of unease slithered down Merrick's back, like fingertips stroking his skin. Raising a gloved hand, he rubbed the back of his neck. He didn't like this at all. The silence was beginning to eat at them. The farther in they travelled, the jumpier they became.
"What be that?"
asked Bale, bringing the small group to a halt for the third time. They strained their ears for a hint of anything, but the only sound was the howling of the wind, as it occasionally whipped through the tunnels from the peaks above.
"That be your imagination,"
Terrace mumbled, sounding more than a little frustrated at the constant stopping and starting. By mid-afternoon, they had managed to reach the forked split. They climbed down from their mounts and scoured the open ground around both trailheads, trying to piece together which direction Rowan and Arnst had taken the previous night.
"It appears they took the pass toward the mines," Terra said, as he moved a few rock fragments with the toe of his boot to get a good look at the hoofprints underneath.
Bale held the horses while Merrick checked the left side.
"I am not seeing any recent tracks heading back toward the other end of the pass."
"That be making not a lick of sense," Bale said. "Why would you be a-heading towards the mines if you be a-looking for armsmen coming from Sealmar? That trail be only one way."
"Well, something obviously gave them cause to search the ironworks."
The tension in Merrick's neck was growing more pervasive.
"Let's eat a quick bite and give Elson a chance to catch up before moving further in."
He pulled out a small bundle of wrapped cheese and sliced meat with a couple of hardtack biscuits on the side. The other two followed his example, washing it down with a little brandy from their corked bladders. A quarter of an hour passed, and still no Elson. Merrick rewrapped the rest of his food and stuffed it back in the satchel.
"We need to keep going."
He watched Terrace walk over to the right fork, and with a nearby rock, draw a simple mark in the dust, signaling the direction they were taking. Merrick waited for Terrace to remount before the three headed in.
"How fur be these ironworks?"
Bale asked, trying to break the uneasy tension.
"I'm not sure," Terrace replied. "I haven't been here since I was a child. My father used to work these mines years ago."
"The mines are hard work, there's no denying that," Merrick said, as he watched the ground in front of his horse. "They say it takes a special breed of man to handle them. Because of the intermittent coal deposits, most end up dying from black lung."
"My father didn't last long enough to get black lung,"
Terra said, his voice a bit hesitant.
"He was killed trying to rescue some men from a partially collapsed tunnel when a secondary shaft buckled on top of them."
"Well, you'd be right sorry to hear that."
Terrace nodded his appreciation in Bale's direction.
"They say he didn't suffer, that it would have been a quick death."
"You can be thankful for that,"
Merrick chimed in, not knowing what else to say to console his comrade.
"Aye," Terrace agreed. "He died saving his men. You couldn't ask for more than that."
"That be the truth there. Ain't no denying."
They continued in silence. An hour later, the pass widened and eventually opened into a large canyon which held the mines, the ironworks, and the distribution center. Littering the canyon floor were a number of wooden shacks, serving as a small functioning community for the workers. In the off-season, however, everything lay vacant.
"Right spooky it is," Bale remarked as he scanned the gorge. "Reminding me of them forgotten cities in the northeast region of Keldor, after Ash Mount done blew her top. The cities all still be there, but with all them dead, the people decided they wasn't about to be returning. They up and left, with nary a look back. Now, only mercenaries, bandits, and maybe some of those who pack a be going near them. Let's split up and see if we can't cover more ground, Merrick said.
He pointed at the ground.
There's too much damage on this floor to pick up a decent trail.
He glanced at Terrace.
You take Bale with you, around the right side, and I'll start here and head left. We'll meet in the middle, by those loading docks on the far side.
He pointed toward a couple of dilapidated buildings corralled together near the back of the gorge.
Terrace slid off his horse.
I suggest we keep the noise to a minimum. Obviously, we aren't seeing any soldiers, but I still don't like this strange disappearance by Rowan and Ernst.
He pulled his sword from its sheath.
Better to look a fool and live than to not and die. There is wisdom in that, Merrick stated, untying his bow and quiver from his horse. I see you fellas on the other side.
He knocked an arrow and started toward the first outbuilding. It looked like one of the main barracks built for the workers to find a cot while waiting for their next shift in the mines. Stepping onto the rickety wooden porch leading to the front door, he faltered as his foot broke through one of the rotten boards. Pulling his leg out, Merrick glanced over his shoulder at Terrace and Bale to see if they had witnessed his embarrassing slip. They were apparently too preoccupied with their own search to look his way. Merrick could see a glint of sun reflecting off Bale's large battle axe as the two trackers cautiously approached their first building. Moving forward, Merrick kept a closer eye on where he planted his feet. The windows he passed had all been shuttered, which left no clear light for visibility inside. He reached out, still maintaining a solid grip on his bow, and pushed down on the latch to release the door. It slid open with a slow, annoying creak.
My great-grand's knees don't sound that bad, he said, trying to lighten the mood and stave off the fear which had been stalking him ever since they had first made their way into the lonely mountains.
Quietly, he stepped inside. Swinging his bow left and then right, he scanned the room. The place was dark, save for the rays of light piercing through the cracks in the shutters. They revealed a heavy amount of dust floating in the air, but nothing else. It was, indeed, a barracks, with small empty cots lining the two outer walls, leaving a narrow walkway down the middle. Not finding any signs of life, he left, firmly closing the door behind him, before headed on to the next. One by one, they checked every building around the perimeter of the ironworks, but to no avail. With no other options, Merrick led the other two in the direction of the mines. He was hoping not to have to visit the dark tunnels, but under the present circumstances, they couldn't afford to leave any stone unturned. With weapons out and at the ready, they stepped inside the largest.
Here you be,
Bale said as he reached into a pile of discarded tools and pulled out an old lantern. Terrace lit the wick with a striker from his pocket and secured the glass covering as Bale swung the lantern around, working to get his bearings.
Hold it steady,
Terrace scolded as he tripped on one of the cart rails that led down into the bowels of the mountain.
It's hard enough trying to walk around in here with nothing but a lamp, but you swinging it all over the place makes it nigh on impossible.
Oh, sorry about that, Bale said,
glancing nervously in all directions.
I've kind of got me a fear of small, dark places. Why'd you think I first be a-choosing the sea as me trade?
Merrick coughed from the amount of dust floating in the air.
I hear something ahead, he whispered to the others,
struggling to maintain a steady focus on putting one foot in front of the other. The noise grew in volume. It was strange, almost like an underground river with its waters echoing off the inside of the rock walls, but more sporadic. They slowed as they could tell they were getting closer to the source.
It has to be just around the next corner.
Merrick started forward, but a loud crash behind him brought him up short. He turned to see their lamp rolling on the ground in his direction, and Bale lying flat on his face.
What happened?
Merrick helped Terrace haul the plucky man back to his feet before collecting the still-rolling lantern.
By thunder! Bale barked.
He brushed off his knees and turned around to see what had happened. Merrick retrieved the lantern and walked back to where the other two were staring at something on the ground. He lowered the light to get a better view of the obstacle.
Merciful creator!
Terrace exclaimed. His eyes bulged.
What in the name of the defiler be that?
Bale asked, his eyes just as wide as Terrace's mouth. Merrick leaned in a little closer. The smell alone was suffocating, reeking of death, and there was a strong metallic taste in the air.
It's a piece of a leg, I think, Merrick said, as he tried moving it some more.
He raised the light a little further, and a couple more pieces of flesh came into view. Battle-hardened as he was, it was still difficult to take in.
I guess we found Rowan and Ernst. I recognize Rowan's belt knife. He won it off me a couple of years back in a card game.
He retrieved the small dagger and stuffed it into the back of his pants.
I be thinking it be about time to go,
Bale said as he nervously glanced at the others, clearly trying to keep his eyes from looking back down at the array of familiar pieces below him. Merrick wanted nothing more than to be gone from the place as well, but he couldn't make himself turn and leave.
I want to see what did this.
Sticking to the pads of his feet, he crept his way toward the next corner of the tunnel.
I owe him that much.
Have you plumb lost what little sense your mamma gave you?
Terrace called after him. Reluctantly, the others followed. There was a sliver of light ahead, which bounced off the wall in front of them, coming from somewhere around the next bend. They quickly realized the noise, which was beginning to sound more garbled now, was not coming from a single source, but from multiple sources. Laying the lantern down so as not to give notice to their arrival, Merrick stepped closer to the edge of the rock wall and shifted his body around one of the wooden braces.
What's that noise? Bale whispered. It'd be sounding like...
Without saying another word, they peered around the corner. Their bodies went rigid. On the other side was an enormous cavern, its walls lined with multiple tunnels, each heading in a separate direction. In the center of the cavern was a large fire pit where flames cast eerie shadows across the entire hollowed-out fissure. And surrounding the pit was the source of the dark, grating sounds.
Whorehounds!